Manasquan School District Board of Education Committee of the Whole meeting for March 17th, 2015. Call to order. Opening statement. Pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10, notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation, one God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Sandy, please.
Mr. Catani.
Here.
Mr. Clayton.
Here.
Mrs. DePalma.
Here.
Mr. Fiore. Mr. Gardner. Mrs. Garrett Muley. Mr. Pellegrino.
Here.
Mrs. Smith.
Here.
Mr. Serino. Mr. Vitale.
Here.
Mr. Walsh. We have quorum.
Mr. Walsh and Mr. Serino are traveling, and Ms. Garrett had another engagement.
Please, Mr. Pellegrino. Mr. Burns.
Here.
Sorry about that.
Thank you. Our mission statement. Manasquan School District's mission is to empower students to reach their potential and become lifelong learners. We strive to ensure that students play an active role in their education, are guided by rigorous academic standards aligned with the New Jersey Core Curriculum Content Standards, and function within the community that regards students, educators, and parents as full participants in the educational process. We dedicate ourselves to the realization of a supportive learning environment that nurtures growth, personal integrity, and mutual respect. Our statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, in many cases by a unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it is placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. This is our committee of the whole meeting, so I will turn it over now to Dr. Cajun, but next week we will be asking to recommend acceptance of the minutes for January 27th and February 24th. And next we have a presentation.
Right now we have our presenters, a demographic study presented by Joseph Richardson from Whitehall Associates Incorporated. Thank you. We all received that in our package.
Yes.
And we'd appreciate it.
Did you want me to present now?
Huh?
Yeah.
Did you want me to present?
Yes. And we're allowing you 15 minutes for your presentation tonight.
I don't need that long.
And we're allowing you, tell me when I can stop. We're allowing you 10 minutes for your presentation tonight.
I love the sense of humor. I take that everyone has a copy of this report. And our reports start with two things. That is the births, which we get from the Department of Health, and not online. I get those directly from them. They send me the spreadsheets. And the other is the enrollments that are reported by NJ Smart on formerly the fall survey report, which is no longer in existence. So with those two things, we do what's called the cohort survival method. In other words, we go from birth to kindergarten, and there is a ratio, and that's shown in table two. And then we go diagonally down that kindergarten to the next first grade, so on down the line. Then we take an average of those ratios from birth to kindergarten, kindergarten to first, and so on. And from that, we make projections based upon the births. Now, if you take a look at table three, there are two areas there that need some explanation. One is the solid boxed, black boxed area. Those kids have not been born or reported as of the time of this report. In the birth figures, those that are in the red dashed boxes were estimated by a regression, or calculated by a regression analysis, okay? And from that, we also have to consider anything that's going to change, because the cohort survival method takes into account all variables during the time the data are collected, providing the variables, each individual variable remains roughly the same. And if things are going up at, when I say that, if, say, births are going up at 5% a year or so, fine. In your particular case, you had a 32% drop in births. And at the time that this was written, I would say, white people aren't having kids. But I couldn't come out and say that. But we do have three reports from Wall Street Journal and one from NBC saying exactly the same thing, only going about it in detail. So that is one factor that you're going to have to contend with, is that drop in births. Another factor that you're going to have to contend with here in Jersey, especially in the shore areas, are people from Central America, grandparents from Central America, bringing their grandchildren up to live with them and go to school. And you say, well, that's, you know, you're full of it. I've got two towns right now that's a major problem. One is Plainfield, the other one's Hackensack. And how do you get a handle on it? We just have to keep track of this every year. In this report, which we started 2 years ago, by the way, and finished over a year ago, you say, these reports should be upgraded every year. You have to stay on top of it. And I'm open to any questions at this point.
Does anyone from the board have any questions, Mr. Clayton?
Yeah, so in a easy speak, what does this report mean?
Pardon?
What is the trend? What are you telling us here with this report? What is the trend?
You have to you read the narrative.
And I see it looks like it's going down.
That's right.
Well, I don't see percents, I just see numbers.
No, you don't have a percentage. I didn't make a percentage because things can change. Okay?
Sure.
And it doesn't do any good. This particular report, this report was designed for the long-range facility plan. I was one of the three people who wrote the protocol for the demographics for the long-range facility plan. Table 2 and Table 3 fit the state form for the demographics for the long-range facility plan, okay? However, you'll notice on page 2, I state very clearly that if there are any differences, you attach this report to the state form and the state will accept our report, because they project their births a little differently and they don't take into account things like program changes. What if you went from a half day to a full day kindergarten or vice versa? What if a Catholic school closed and you get all these kids? I've got two districts right now where that's a major problem. They're getting the kids in, and where are they going to put them? And things of that nature, okay? The state form does not take care of that. But the people of the state will buy this if it's attached to their form.
This is strictly numbers by the birth rate. It doesn't take into consideration if towns have increased year-round populations.
Sure. The method itself, because we have 6 years of history, that method takes into account all variables during the time the data are collected. Okay? And that includes literally everything. Okay. Providing we don't have things like Sandy, which I had to take into account when we did the residential development portion. We took a look at the residential development at all of the districts that feed into Manasquan, especially in the high school. And we had to take into account some of the damage that was done by Sandy. And fortunately, it did not have an effect the way we're doing it here. Yep.
Just a hypothetical question. Do you do the same analysis for all of our?
Pardon?
Do you do the same analysis? Do you do the same analysis for all the sending districts?
Only with the residential development.
Okay.
I have done most of your sending districts on their own, but we didn't have to because it's their eighth grades that come in your ninth grade.
That's right.
And if you take a look at table two, and you take a look at the ratios between grade eight and grade nine, they're close to 3.0.
Yeah.
If it was 1.0, it'd be, you know, 100 kids to 100 kids. Well, here you see in those ratios the increase from grade eight to grade nine, and that's how it's taken into account.
I'll just speak for Brielle for a second. We have a decreasing trend.
Yes.
We have a decreasing
trend. I do, Brielle.
Right, good. And I'm not sure about all the others. I'm not sure about all the other sending districts. I guess the question is, can you somehow combine all of the sending districts' report to come up with some type of projection as to what we think is going to be sent to Manasquan?
I would have to do each individual district.
You would? Okay.
Completely.
Okay. So we don't have enough data with what we've done already to be able to combine them.
I have enrollments for every school in the state.
Yeah.
From 1998 to 2013. For 2014, I have a form that I give the districts along with a protocol that was worked with the Department of Education Data Center for them to get the information off of NJ, their NJ Smart program. But in order to do that, I think we have six districts, not counting Manasquan, feeding in here. So that's six separate reports to answer your question.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else?
No, I think your numbers are right on. I think, I know for this year, we're right about 23, October 15th count. So, I'm complimenting your analysis.
Oh,
I'm saying you did a good
job
with that. And also, I agree with the, you're a little high on the live birth rate for the pre-K students. I know we do have a cohort of pre-K students coming in possibly next year that are a little higher than we've had in the past. As I said, October 15th, you have us at 1646, we were at 1623. So you're right there. And I'm happy to have you here tonight. I know this is about a year old. But I wanted the presentation because we've had this study done, and I think a demographic analysis like this is very important for predicting the future growth of a school district. So thank you for tonight.
I thank you very much.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And no other questions?
Thank you.
I have one question. It's just a personal one, and I'll explain it. How many board members here are certificated board members?
That's a great question.
I was one of the people who fought with and cooperated with Senator Jack Ewing, who was head of the Senate Education Committee at the state, to get that program in. Mm-hmm. And I was in the first group of certificated board members. It took me 2 years, but...
Well, congratulations to you, because that's a lot of due diligence and a lot of time on your part. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yes. As we get into the Committee of the Whole discussion, I just want to focus on our upcoming presentations at the March 24th board meeting. We'll have several presentations. The girls and boys swim team, Shore Conference champions, and Monmouth County champions. First time in school history will be here. New Jersey's Youth Art Month winners, three state Youth Art Month winners, and five county winners will be here, which is a big honor. The New Jersey Daughters of the American Revolution named Manasquan High School social studies teacher Jim Fagan as their 2015 New Jersey Daughters of the American Revolution Outstanding Teacher of American History. He will be here as well to receive an honor. And our February Teacher and Students of the Month will be here. Also, in regards to an announcement, as you know, at our last meeting, we decided to take a group of communiques and send them to the Attorney General's office. Well, I spoke to him today, and Robert Lieber, L-U-Y-B-E-R, said to me that they're taking their due diligence, and they're going to get back to us shortly, and they are reviewing the information that we sent to them. And he wanted to know exactly why we sent it to him, and I did explain that to him. So that is being done as we speak, and I hope to have a report, hopefully, in April about that. In regards to education, curriculum, and technology, we do have some action items that are starred. The cooperative pricing system contract from LightPath is an action item this evening. And that particular contract from the Middlesex region is allowing us to expand our bandwidth. And I know that Jesse loves talking about bandwidth, so if you just want to explain how that's going to help us with our park testing and everything else that we do here, please do. Jesse?
I do love bandwidth.
I know you do. We talk about it constantly. You can't get enough bandwidth.
That's true. I'm always glad to present good news, and I certainly would put this in the good news category for us. To give you a little just context for this, basically, in the state of New Jersey, up until this year, school districts have really been required to negotiate and sign their own contracts with their internet service providers, just like you would do as a private business or just like you would do as a home individual user. Last year, the Department of Education began a program to basically try to publicly bid for as many, you know, local Board of Education and Educational Services commissions together, you know, the opportunity to be able to purchase bandwidth in bulk, okay, from these internet service providers. Obviously, with the reason being to get a pricing advantage for everyone. And that, of course, is done in connection with the fact that they're telling us we need more bandwidth, they're telling us we need to be, you know, having more programs, and, of course, park testing contributed to that as well. So in New Jersey, the Educational Services Commission that manages that is Middlesex, one of which we are a member. And the good news is, as a result of that bid, basically we're coming to an end of our current three-year contract in April of this year. To give you a comparison, right now we are paying $2,969 per month, okay, for a 50 megabit per second internet connection. That services the whole district. Under the new bid, okay, we have an opportunity to purchase up to 500 megabits per second, okay, so that's a tenfold or 10 times increase in bandwidth at a cost of $2,627. So for bandwidth itself, we'll be getting basically, you know, 10 times the bandwidth for about $300 less per month under this bid. The only caveat to that is that currently in our contract, we're bundled, okay, with bandwidth and kind of like you just have at home, you know, with your internet service, voice over IP phone service. So in that current contract for that same price, the $29.69 that I mentioned, we're getting 50,000 minutes of voice time. All right. Because MRESC did not make that part of this bid, okay, the voice service, we will have to contract for that separately. So the company that won the bid for our district was Optimal Light Path, which is the current provider that we have. I obtained a quote for them for not 50,000 minutes, but for 10,000 minutes a month, and that's about $738. Why 10 and not 50? Because I asked them to do an analysis of what we were actually using in voice service over the past year and a half, and there was only 1 month when we broke 10,000 minutes, and we did it by like 18 minutes, so it would have been obviously financially advantageous just to pay the overage instead of paying for 50,000 minutes a month. So basically, what I'm saying is the bottom line, even if we have to pay that much a month for 10,000 minutes of voice, we're still basically able to get 10,000, or excuse me, 10 times the amount of bandwidth for about a $400 increase per month, which, you know, is obviously a good option to do. So that's the contract that is placed on tonight's agenda, and that would be a 3-year contract going forward, which is the scope of that bid. So, like I, as I said, this is a, you know, a really good opportunity to expand what we want to do. To go back to, you know, when we presented in November about the one-to-one and all of that stuff, you know, that's one of the big considerations, and that's one of the big barriers we've hit this year in terms of bandwidth and being able to take fully advantage of what I think we could do, you know, locally. We have a very robust local network, you know, from all the wiring projects we've done over the past years, but that pipe to the internet is still, you know, an aspect that concerns us, and this would, you know, mitigate that concern.
All right, before you sit down, I'm going to jump to, or and since you mentioned it, you brought it up, update on our District One-to-One Initiative Pilot Program. As you know, that the staff tablet is a Dell Venue i5 with mobile KB, and the student tablet is a Dell Venue Atom with mobile KB. And Jesse's been looking at the utilization of these tablets just recently, and it's going to be a plan for us to move on to the future. However, in everybody's packet is the Manasquan Student Mobile Technology Program financing options, the 3-year projections that was decided on prior to Lynn and I coming aboard. But we're 100% behind our one-to-one initiative, and I just wanted Jesse to give everyone an update tonight. And so I don't have to make you sit down and get back to the microphone. If you could do it now, it'd be great.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So the document that Dr. Cajun is referring to actually was a document that was shared with both the Finance Committee and the Curriculum Education and Technology Committee last year when we first started talking about this program. So don't confuse that with any, you know, we don't have today current pricing that we would be looking at going forward. That was to look at as a projection. But we certainly can use that as a model. The market is not, you know, changing that dramatically that pricing would be that different. But that was just to kind of give a historical context of what we talked about last year when we looked at that going forward. As far as the program itself, you know, I think you have to look at it in the context of both schools. I think you have to look at it in the context of the whole school year. What I think we found is that the teachers, you know, who are most motivated to do this have been met with a lot of success. I work with them all the time. You know, we talk about it. We work together a lot. On the technology side of things, on the operations side of it, you know, my biggest frustration with the program and my staff's biggest frustration with the program is we have had, and I mentioned this back in November when we talked about it, and we continue to have it, we have had a higher than normal failure rate for some of the hardware that was provided to us. We have been in ongoing discussions, you know, with Dell, you know, the vendor of the product, about that. You know, I talk to them, I think, sometimes more than I talk to my parents every week. They have been, I would say they have been very cooperative in trying to make everything right, to the point where it really has been at no cost to the district that we've had a lot of these things taken care of. The one thing that obviously they can't give us is the time and the effort that's taken us and my staff, you know, to deal with those problems. So anyway, as we look toward making a plan for the future, you know, I think there's a lot of things we have to consider. I think we have to consider what grade levels we're really targeting to do that. I think that's an easier decision at the elementary level, because at the elementary level, you basically have grade levels that are segregated. You know, all the eighth graders take classes together, you know, with other eighth graders. In the high school, that's a much more complicated picture. You know, this year we equipped our freshmen with tablets. We did that because freshmen are fairly isolated, you know, together. Not completely. You know, we have many sections, and that was one of the early roadblocks, you know, that we had to overcome, is what do you do in a class where you have maybe 20 freshmen, but you have 4 sophomores, you know, which is more common than you might think. So that's one thing that we addressed early on in the year. So the high school picture, I think, is a little bit more complicated. So all of this kind of together is what we, and when I say Lee, or we, I mean, you know, myself, Dr. Cajun, Ms. Coates, and obviously the people who are involved in the technology in the district are looking at is, you know, what's the recommendation going to be going forward? That includes a couple, I think, components. Number one is that grade level plan. How do we roll this out to make it successful for as many students as possible? Number two, obviously, is budget. You know, what can we afford as far as money is positioned in this year's budget, and what will be positioned in next year's budget to make that a reality? And then lastly, what device do we choose going forward? All right, so we've set up a number of meetings. Like I said, I work with Dell all the time, and have worked with this problem. I would, you know, definitely say that they're committed to working with us and helping us with all these problems. And, you know, but that still gives me pause about what to do going forward. So we've also set up meetings with other vendors, other manufacturers to look at, you know, what those could be in the hopes of presenting to the board, you know, a plan going forward about what we think the best direction.
And looking at the best models that are out there for us, and the one that we did discuss, in the best case scenario, what would it be in regards to outfitting a grade level or several grade levels for us to move forward next year?
In terms of which grade levels?
If we were going to move forward next year, best case scenario to have the least amount of problems would be, as we've discussed,
yes,
to outfit the entire high school.
Yeah, for the reason that I mentioned. You know, and that's, I think, the challenge. To say that next year we're going to give tablets to, let's say, freshmen and sophomores, I think would create a larger problem than we already have.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, especially when they get to the sophomore year, junior year, now you have very mixed classes, you know, with lots more kids. So I think as you talk about adding a grade level, like I said, I think that can be done very easily in the elementary school. I don't think it can be done as easily as in the high school.
And could you potentially save money on curriculum items such as textbooks by going to the digital textbooks? If every child in the high school had a tablet, could we then furnish those tablets with digital textbooks instead of hardback, paperback textbooks?
Sure.
Which are less expensive?
Yeah, they're less expensive. You know, over the long term, you know, I think the other opportunities that exist probably are that for some subjects, and I don't bring this up because one of the model schools that we visited last year, Pascack Valley, basically said, you know, as they had a one-to-one for over a number of years, their social studies department, for example, doesn't buy textbooks anymore. You know, they use all primary sources, you know, as internet resources. So, you know, there certainly are a lot of things. You know, I would say, from my perspective, you know, I think that's a decision as far as the textbooks and what those resources are that should be left to the curriculum people, you know, and the teachers in those departments.
Well, I do see the children every morning coming into school, and textbooks are heavy. I mean, just being practical, and they take a lot of books home.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would help. Yeah. Okay. Any questions? Yes.
Just one. So the current tablets that we have for the teachers and the 2 grades, we're already in a contract for a 3-year lease for those, correct?
Only the student ones. The teacher ones we purchased outright last year.
Right, buy. I see the buy and then
the lease. So the 330 student tablets, that's the venue Adams are.
Right, that we spent the one, and then the 61,776 is for the lease for the next 2 years more now, right?
I'm sorry?
We're still leasing the student ones, 330 of them for 2 more years, 14,
yes.
15, 15, 16.
That's correct.
Okay.
So that's a lease payment, I think, of 60-something.
Right,
$1,000.
Yep. Okay.
61.
Yes. And that's, of course, you know, just to go back to that budget discussion, you know, that's, of course, a consideration, right? You know, it's kind of like, well, do you lease or do you buy? And, you know, Lynn and I and Dr. Cajun have had, you know, that discussion about, you know, well, you know, in my mind, I like the idea of leasing, but that means you have to be budgeted, you know, that many years in advance. So, you know, it all comes down to, you know, where that money is and when it's available.
So. Well, not only that, responsibility for the student who's leasing it, so.
Sure. Yeah.
Jesse, thank you. I see no more questions. Very good. Also, as you can see in your packet, we have our revised graduation dates that I would like to take action on this evening. At the elementary school, June 22nd. At the high school, June 23rd. And then the teachers will be here on that following Thursday, the 24th. So it's a Tuesday and a Wednesday, I believe, the 22nd of June and the 23rd. We also have the elementary school summer programs that I would like to take action on this evening. As you know, that in the elementary divisions, we have the PTO Summer Enrichment Program from grades K to 8, and we also have the Summer Skills Program, students entering grades 1, 2, and 3. You have some information about those in your packet. And then we also have the transition program for the freshmen that we put into effect last year from the South Shore Community Service Club, which focuses on bringing children here and having them work together. And it's a trust-building class that they have, and also encouraging relationships that they can develop before they enter the high school, which I think was successful last year as we brought the sending districts together. Any questions about those programs at all? We have an update tonight on our preschool program. Tonight we're going to ask you to strike tuition costs, as you can see in the package, actually, for that will be on the agenda next. That's tonight. Well, I was right the first time. Nice. And as you can see, that our preschool student enrollments are changing. The AM session is going to be 39% of its cost, and the PM session 61%, which translates to $2,321 for the AM session and $3,630 for the PM session, because the PM session is going to be longer. Total cost is $5,951. If four students attend, two from each session increase in the 15-16 school year, the district will break even on our preschool program. I think that was important. Tonight's important to strike those rates so we can advertise for our preschool program, which we advertised late for last year. So I think this would be advantageous to us. Also in your packet is a program highlight from the ISTE conference, the International Technology Conference, that I would like to send our technology team and our principals to this particular summer. And I believe those dates are at the end of June. I think it's important that we, and it's in Philadelphia this year, it's usually held in different cities, this year it's in Philadelphia, that we get out and we see exactly what's out there to be offered, as well as getting involved in different conferences to bring new ideas back to the district. The ISTE conference, the International Technology Conference, is focused on hardware and some software, but not actually integrating technology initiatives and teaching strategies in the classroom. That conference is the one that is by Alan November in Boston, the Development of Learning Communities Conference. But this one offers the administrators an opportunity to see what's happening in other school districts around the country, to bring back some new ideas that we can talk about to move forward as we look at our different initiatives that we have talked about. So I'm just bringing that to the board's attention tonight, because I would like to send several of our administrators and technical people to this conference in Philadelphia, which it's close this year, so it's advantageous to us. Also in your folder, I call it district vision, but I wanted to take a look at how well this district is doing academically. And it's something that we had the opportunity to talk about on Saturday morning when we had one of our first presentations regarding the school district, where we are and how we're moving forward as we build the budget. And as you can see from the first page, it focuses on the quality single accountability continuum and how we were deemed a high performing district again. And this is not new to Manasquan. For 6 years in a row now, Manasquan has been deemed a high performing school district as the county came down and looked at what we were doing with instruction and program, fiscal management, governance, personnel, and operations. And we made that point perfectly clear Saturday morning, and I wanted to again talk about it this evening. To be considered a high-performing school district, the school district must achieve at least 80% in each of the five areas evaluated. And as you can see, We had 100% instruction and program, 90% in fiscal management, 100% in governance, 100% in personnel, and 100% in operations. So I think that's extremely notable. That's why I wanted to bring it to your attention this evening in our committee of a whole. Also, as you turn the page, you can see our elementary school test scores that we came. This represents New Jersey ASK, by the way. And I combined both the proficient and the advanced proficient and put that number on top. And if you look at the, it's a longitudinal study from 2011 to 2013-14, you could see the growth, especially in the partially proficient area, where it went from 21% to 17%. And those partially proficient students found themselves in the advanced proficient area, so you can see 83%. So as you look at these charts and graphs, you can see the state of the school district in regards to its academics, which I think is excellent. Also, if you take a look at the test scores for Manasquan High School, which again is not PARC now, it's the old testing that they had before PARC, the HESPA, you can see exactly as you combine, I combined the advanced proficient and proficient, and for proficiency trends in language arts literacy, in 2013-14, 98% proficiency. In math, 90%. And in proficiency trends for biology, 90% as well. Biology is a little different than the math and the language arts literacy because that can span several grade levels, not just the 11th grade level. Because in biology, you can have freshmen, sophomores, juniors, I would think seniors as well. If no seniors, Desi says, okay. But there might be a senior here or there.
It's, in our school, it's mostly sophomores and some freshmen because those are the students in first year biology.
Thank you, Jesse. And as you turn the page, one of the things that we also have not only presentations on Saturday mornings, but we do have a strategic planning committee that meets with about 42 members. And one of the things that we presented to the strategic planning committee was to have a faculty integration meeting where the faculty would actually meet and talk about developing goals and answering essential questions. And the essential questions appear on the second page, and they're basically three. What distinguishes our graduates? What impact do we want our graduates to make in the world? And what goals can we develop from the themes gleaned from the aggregated data gathered in the surveys? We had three surveys that we had out there. The Strategic Planning Committee has looked at the data that has come back to us. I would like the faculty to look at it as well. I would like the faculty to be surveyed. I would like the students to be surveyed. And from that data, aggregate that as well, have the faculty develop goals and present those goals to the Strategic Planning Committee. I think that would be very beneficial for us. As you turn the page, talking about faculty, one of the initiatives that the governor had was to have a new evaluation system that became a piece of legislation for New Jersey developed this year. And we as well are involved in it. And as you can see from the scores from the teacher summative evaluation scores, teacher practice plus the student growth percentages and SGOs, you can see that the majority of our teachers, in fact, 98 teachers are effective according to state standards and 24 are highly effective. And then from the teacher practice domains, which is strictly from the evaluations and the observations that are done here in district, we had 119 observations and you can see the percentages on the bottom. Again, for the most part, our teachers fall into the range of effective and highly effective. Only one was partially effective. That speaks extremely well for the education that's going on in districts. So I thought it was important that we take a look at that this evening. And then that last slide focused on how is teacher practice measured according to the state statute that was passed last year. And the observation requirements are on the back page. So that's a little snippet of a district vision of exactly where we are academically. Any questions about any of the things on the education, curriculum, and technology? The athletics and community, confidential personal items will be discussed in executive session, the volunteer tennis coach. However, I did get a visit from a community member regarding our proposed referendum this week. And that visit was basically focused on where we had moved the softball field. And he owns a house very close to the softball field where they are now. But since we moved the softball field to the other side, his house is directly behind it now. So I told him I would bring that to the board's attention this evening, and I am. And when the engineer and the architect are back in district, I'm going to afford him the opportunity to talk to them if you'd like to, just so he can understand exactly what we're doing. I don't propose on moving the field. I let him know that because that's exactly where the engineer placed it. And both fields, the JV and the varsity softball field, fit there very nicely. But we will afford him an opportunity to speak to the architect and engineer if they can answer some of his questions. Okay. There's more personnel to be discussed in executive session. Policy negotiation action items. You have bylaw 0164, and that's basically conduct of board meetings. We're going to hopefully pass tonight moving up the student representatives on our scheduled agenda so they could speak, I believe, before the presentations, so we can get them back and so they can get home to do their studying or practice whatever particular sports they're involved in or extracurricular activities. Any questions about that? The negotiations committee will meet on March 31st with New Jersey school boards. We have some action items in regards to finance, and I'm going to turn those over to Ms. Coates.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
The approval of the tentative budget is on the agenda this evening. The Finance Committee has met on March 3rd, March 6th, and March 12th, and budget information went out to the full Board of Education in last Friday's packet. There's also a copy for you this evening in your blue file folder. We had an informative presentation this past Saturday where we addressed current and future district initiatives, as Dr. Cajun has just mentioned. It was very well attended. The next step in the budget process is the adoption tonight of the tentative budget for submission to the County Office of Education. Please note that once the tentative budget is reviewed by the County Office, there could be minor changes which will be incorporated into the final budget. We will then hold a second public meeting on Saturday, April 18th at 9:00 in the morning to discuss the facts and figures of the budget. The public hearing on the budget will be held at the regular April meeting, which is April 28th at 6 p.m., where again the facts and the figures of the budget are presented, and that is known as the public hearing on the budget. Once the final budget is adopted that evening, it is submitted one more time to the County Office of Education. 2 days later, by April 30th, the user-friendly budget will be posted on the district website. Before I go on to the next item under finance, I would just like to thank the administration, the finance committee, and the board office for their assistance and time, lots of time for the finance committee in the budget building process. Thank you very much. The next item, which is actually part of the budget resolution, is the semi-waiver request. We are again requesting a waiver due to the fact that the program, the semi-program, will cost more to run for the district than the revenue that will be brought into the district. So this is not a new waiver. This district has requested a waiver in the past, and that is on the agenda for approval this evening, so that can be submitted with the budget action items. Before I move on to the next item under finance, are there any questions regarding the budget or the packet that was provided to you? Everyone okay with that? So the referendum resolution that you have this evening in your blue file and also was provided to you in the Friday packet is a resolution that we will need to pass to select the September 29th referendum date. If the board feels that we're ready to take action on that this month, we can add it to the March 24th agenda. So at this point, we'd like to ask you if you have any comments on that or any concerns with that. That resolution, by the way, was authored by Ron Iannoli, who is our bond counsel. Okay. Are we all in agreement that that should be placed on the March 24th agenda to take action? Thank you. Next item is discussion at the Finance Committee level with Garrison Architects concerning the ROD grants. So at one of our Finance Committee meetings, we had a phone conference call with Bob Garrison. He outlined the pros and cons of the ROD grants funding as opposed to the debt service funding. As you can remember, this came up at one of our last board meetings. So taking into consideration the SDA grant assessment that will be due annually to the Board of Education, and we're currently paying one now, and the fact that the grant funds come in very slow from the state, and often the board may find itself in a situation where you need to borrow money to pay your contractors, he outlined that he's in favor of the debt service program for our purposes here in Manasquan. Now, the Finance Committee was there, and we all spoke with Mr. Garrison on the phone, so I'm just going to ask if anyone from the committee would like to add anything or have any input on that topic. Anyone?
I was absent.
Okay. Oh, that's right. You were. Okay. Okay. So that is under Finance. Next is Building and Grounds. The soil testing, which will be an action item this evening. The soil testing recommendation that Mr. Edwards made is in your blue file folder tonight, and it was also provided in the Friday packet. He is recommending the company that you see on the agenda this evening, which I believe is Underwood, and he will be available at our meeting on March 24th to come in and answer any questions regarding this process and the proposals. Are there any questions on that? TexNet, which as you know is the poles were installed. TexNet is supposed to be here today and tomorrow to install the net and to show our staff how to raise and lower the net. And I will get an update on the progress at the end of the day tomorrow, so I can include that in the Friday packet.
Thank you, Ms. Coates.
Thank you.
Superintendent report I'll give next week. It's to you.
We're up to number 11, public forum on agenda items. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allowed a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by an individual, not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will now respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of, any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only, please. Would anybody like to be heard?
Shella Sala, 44 Parker Avenue. I had a couple of questions. Who is on the Finance Committee?
I'm sorry?
Who is on the Finance Committee?
Who's
what
on
board
the
members are on the Finance Committee?
That would be Mrs. Garrett Muley, Mrs. Smith, Mr. Vitale, Mr. Catani, and myself.
Okay. With regards to the demographic report, I know that we had asked for it 2 years ago. It was completed 2 years ago. We paid for it 2 years ago. I wrote to the board several times, and I stood up here several times and asked why we weren't hearing it. And OPRID committee reports show that the committee had decided it was never appropriate on three different occasions to give the information not only to the public, but more importantly, the rest of the board. And I was wondering, Mr. Pellegrino, perhaps some of the, I know that Mr. Clayton was on the Finance Committee at that time, can he perhaps provide an answer as to why the information is coming out now when it appears it's not useful to us now?
Ma'am.
I mean, what might have went behind that decision to not release the information or disclose it to the rest of you or share it with the rest of you, I guess is a better way to say it.
Okay, if you go ahead.
Sure. The reason why we had that tonight is because I thought it was a pertinent piece of information. I wasn't here when that occurred. I'm here this evening. And since I've been in district, I could see that we have a downward trend of our population. So we're doing things as we speak, choice schools, academies, to make sure that we have a level population. So the reason for it tonight was the first chance we had as a board to hear it, since I've been here, Lynn Coates and I, since July 1. So that's why they're here this evening.
So would it be accurate to say that when the plans were made for all of the projects and initiatives that are in the 24 million plus referendum, that none of the demographic report information was taken into consideration, such as if we're having declining enrollment, that would not have been addressed when those plans were made, nor would there be any information in our current long-range facility plan or amendments made with any of that information since tonight's the first time it was discussed to the whole board? Would that be accurate?
I don't think that would be accurate, because I know that Bob Garrison has looked at that, and he's the person who's now responsible for a long-range facility plan. And I don't know what $24 million you're alluding to.
Well, the bond, the initial preliminary bond referendum that we were here that the night the bond gentleman was here, it's going to be less debt service. I know that there's other numbers that, but that was the figure that was thrown out for all of the, between the elementary school and the high school.
Oh, the current referendum project
correct.
That we're focusing on.
Correct.
That has
and
to
I know
do,
that's very preliminary.
I know, but that does not have to do with any population growth on the part of the student body. That has to do on infrastructure that has to be fixed.
Right, so any of the capital projects on there did not, you know, with regards to the fields and what we're building and what we may build going forward, does not take that any of that documentation or information into consideration?
No, it did. As I said, Bob Garrison took a look at all the data
right.
we had here, and Ron Iannone took a look at everything
okay.
from 2005, and as well as the trending that we talked about this evening. So that was looked at, including this particular report. He had that as well.
Okay. And with regards to the ROD grants, I believe that when the gentleman was here the last time, I'd asked the question if the ROD grants could have been combined with the debt service funding, and he had said it could have been had they been eligible still at that time. Is that not accurate now? Because I wasn't understanding, Ms. Coates, when you were explaining that. Obviously, he prefers one over the other. Mm-hmm. I'm understanding that, but would that money have ever been available to us, that several million dollars, had we, would we, I thought he said we could have combined both had we had the time in our favor. Is that accurate?
I believe he said that you can combine both. We have been told that it can be very confusing when that is on a ballot, when you have both ROD grant monies and referendum monies.
Okay.
That has been told. I don't believe that was said at the board meeting, but that had been shared with Dr. Kajian and I. But I do believe that is what he said, that you
okay.
can. Yeah.
You most definitely can yeah. combine. Mm-hmm. You're talking about a referendum plus a project.
Debt service plus the ROD grants.
Yeah. Yes,
the
you can.
So it's two
yes.
sources of funding
yes,
rather
can.
Than. And then my final is just to the board, if they would please take into consideration, I know we need the facility upgrades, and I'm certainly, you know, we know what our facilities are like, but I'm not certain that rushing out in September gives us any advantage to not putting it on the November ballot. It's something that I spoke about before. The district does incur an expense to put that question out. You're talking only 2 months, and I don't know that it makes much of a difference as to when you start. So I'd like the board to be cognizant of that when they make their decision. Thank you.
Hello, Donna Bassone, 122 North Main Street. I wanted to talk about the laptops that kids have. I have found this year my son has used it barely a handful of times. I want to inquire with you guys if you're going to mandate the teachers to start using them consistently. I had one teacher tell my son the whole first semester, make sure it's charged up because you're going to use it the whole second semester. He's done one report on it and not another piece of work in any class. So I'm very concerned that you're talking about buying computers for the whole school and the teachers are not, like, I say to him every day, what are you doing with this? You're lugging it. He's on his third computer and his fourth charger, which Jesse knows, I understand the hardware problems, but I just find he just got it in September. He hasn't abused it. He's on his, you know, third one already, and he's not using it. They're not, we know the textbook companies all don't have e-books mm-hmm. already, may not be for a very long time, that everybody goes to, you know, that type of book. I'm just concerned about what your expectations are of the teachers to be using this with the students interactively every day.
I think that responsibility falls with me.
Okay.
And I really think that we have to develop the teachers to be comfortable with them in the classroom.
Right.
And I have some supervisors who've been modeling them. I really believe that professional development is the key before we can expect the students to use them on a daily basis.
It hasn't crossed over from the smart boards to their, like, there's, like, short of typing a paper at home, there's nothing, I mean, we have three computers home. We don't need to.
I agree. And some teachers are using them the way they were intended to use.
Right, like I know Ms. Kokoda, I've talked with her several times. She's outstanding.
She's wonderful.
She's not here. The high school kids for freshman year have not touched it.
But I think we have to be patient because it takes time. It was a pilot program.
Okay.
I think that one of the things that we have to see for it to come to fruition the way we want it to be, just the way I showed the film that night, if you recall, is that we have to get them in the hands of the entire student body and then take the time to move with our teachers to develop them so they're comfortable. So every grade level has certain applications that they utilize, and then I can see it used fully. I agree with you.
In the hands of the whole school if the freshman teachers aren't using it.
The freshman teachers aren't using it the way they should right now because we haven't given them the professional development they need.
Okay. So you need to teach them how to be getting these used, is what you're saying.
In so many words.
I'm just not understanding the concept of putting them in the whole school if what we have now is not being utilized.
It was a pilot to see if the unit itself was efficient. And as we looked at the pilot, we are assessing as we go. Jesse, am I on target with that? You sure may, as the technology supervisor. You can weigh in here.
Yeah, and I think you've hit on a very important point, right? Which is, and as Dr. Cajun alluded to, the professional development aspect of it. I would not broadly categorize and say they're not being used in high school.
Okay, well, in all of my son's classes, now we're into the second semester, and the teacher said, have it charged, you're going to use it every day. It's March, he hasn't touched it yet.
Okay.
Short of five times of using it, it's not being cross-reference in any way in the classroom that for them to do anything. I'm just concerned of buying more when we're not using what we have.
Sure. I would not necessarily agree with that completely. I think that there are cases in the high school where it is being used.
Okay.
Because frankly, if they hadn't been being used, we wouldn't be seeing all these kids in our office every day having them repaired.
Right.
So
exactly.
Better for it. So I do think they are being used. Are they being used to the level I would like to see, and I think that we need to be as a school? No, absolutely not.
Right. Maybe my expectations were high, but I expected homework every night and things being looked up.
My expectations are high as well, and I know the expectations are, I know the boards are. And I think that professional development aspect to it is going to be extremely important as we go forward. I think.
So you have plans, somebody has plans for that then for the teachers?
Yes, we have plans for Professional Development Academy. We have plans to roll out professional development this summer and in September.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff.
Seeing no one else, we're going to move on to the Manasquan general items, the action items. First one is the recommended approval to submit the tentative 2015-16 school district budget to the County Office of Education for review and approval. Do we have a motion to recommend approval to submit the tentative budget? Mrs. Smith, seconded by Mr. Catan. Any discussion? Sandy?
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Serena? I'm sorry. Carried.
Our next action item, B, recommend. Yes. Items B, C, D, E, and F. Does anyone need anything separated out of those items? Seeing no one, do we have a motion to move B through F? Mr. Catani? Second. Mr. Clayton? Any discussion on any of those items? Sandy?
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mrs. De Palma?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Smith?
Yes.
Carried.
Items G through the Secretary's report will be for next week. Does anybody have any question on those items while we're here?
Can we do L separately, please?
Next week, yeah. We're not doing it tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Manasquan Sanding District items, the action items. RS, T, and U. Does anyone need anything separated out in those four items? Do we have a motion to move RS, T, and U? Mrs. DePalma, second. Mrs. Smith, any discussion? Sandy?
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mrs. DePalma?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mrs. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Carries.
And items V through the financials will be for next week. Does anybody have any questions on those items at this time? Moving along, we are to old and new business. Does anyone have any old business they'd like to discuss? New business? Just like to welcome Mr. Martin Burns. He was sworn in prior to the meeting in the board office. We'd just like to thank you and welcome.
Thank you.
Anybody have any other new or old business? We're to our second public forum. Anybody like to be heard? Mrs. Pisano?
About the freshman semi-formal dance. I wanted to know, did you have a lower or smaller incidence of any children, students being under the influence of drugs or alcohol?
I don't know if that's a topic of conversation, but
we're going to have. All right, well, the complaint is a lot of kids and parents complained that the dance was horrible.
This is a comment section. If you have a comment you want to make, that's fine.
So I can't ask a question?
Well, there's nobody. The administration's not here. So who would you be asking the question of?
Who made the... Okay, my question is, who made the rules for this recent dance on Friday night? The rules of the lights staying on, the security, and the whole shebang? Because the kids want to either present to you or write a letter to the student council. They're very upset that they paid money for the dance, and they were all miserable, and the rule is they can't leave early, and a huge percentage of the kids and parents I spoke to wanted to leave early. It was not a nice, comfortable dance, so I just wanted to find out.
Rick Coppola, following the last dance, met with the student government, as well as the teachers, to come up with some parameters for this particular dance as we move forward into it. So that was a collaborative effort, and I do know what they were. He sent me a list just before the dance.
Okay.
And Jesse, you were at the dance. Were the children partaking in the activities of the dance once the lights went off?
Yeah.
But only a few of them went off, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Was it a different scenario this time in terms of any trouble that you know of at this point? Is that the reason? Because I just feel like they're being penalized for the kids that made mistakes at homecoming. And lots of parents called and questioned, talked to me about it, and were very upset with how their kids were not happy at the dance.
I had two parents stop in front of the school and talk to me as they're dropping their children off, and both parents complimented us because of the atmosphere that was created.
While they were dropping off?
Dropping their children off in the morning.
This week?
Yes.
Okay.
So I didn't receive any complaints. But I know that there were some complaints during the dance.
Yes.
And that once the lights went off, some of the lights went off, that I thought it was business as usual. And I thought the children were having fun. So I'm open to hear from the students, but I think the students should go to the principal and talk to him about it.
All right. Well, that was my question. Where did they go next with their complaints? And what was this regime successful in having less problems?
This is a good thing. Because I think that having a successful dance, that burden falls on the shoulders of the administration, the students, the teachers, and the parents. And I think that if there are things that the students don't like that happened at the last dance, I think that the administration is open enough to talk to them about that. And the burden of responsibility for success has to fall on the shoulders of all parties involved. So I think
I understand the kids are the reason that the last dance, you know, there was issues at homecoming that may not have been here. I get that, but I just don't want to see them all penalized and going forward have it so stringent. I mean, several kids said to me it was like going to a dance in a prison. It was very uncomfortable.
Okay. So I think that is, as I said, I think that's a good thing.
An issue to
because it's going to bring people together to discuss about how we could do this successfully for all parties.
So you want them to go to Mr. Coppola with that?
Yeah, I think that chain of command is important.
Okay.
And what I don't want to see happen is to not have dances. I think the children
right.
should have dances, and they should have dances they enjoy, that they're safe at, and that the parents assume the responsibility as well as the staff and the students.
I agree with everything you just said, but I just wanted to know where they should go with it from there.
Thanks, Tom.
Excellent. Thank you.
Michelle Sala, 44 Parker Avenue. I'd like to know what the board was given to look at when they approved the preliminary budget tonight. Were they given just the numbers that are on the agenda, or were they given supporting documentation behind it as far as line items?
Ms. Coates, could you explain what went out to the board, please?
Yes, there was supporting documentation that went out to the board. There was a three-page cover sheet, and there was a description of the budget, along with the budget plan of action, the state aid printout from the state, proposed tax levy calculation, projected revenues and appropriations comparing 14-15 school year to 15-16 school year and the difference, Monmouth County 2015 preliminary net valuation taxable table, compilation of sending district enrollment, comparing the 14-15 enrollment projecting the 15-16 enrollment showing a difference of 26 students, and revenues and appropriations line by line with explanation of 4% plus or minus variance and three sets of meeting minutes.
Does the board have any discussion in their committee meetings as far as extraordinary circumstances that may affect the building of this budget compared to the previous year's budget? Not specific to it, but for example, we don't have FEMA money anymore, so obviously that's a topic of discussion, I assume, when they're building the budget. Is that, or does the committee discuss that? I'm not sure who to direct the question to.
Does the committee discuss
extraordinary circumstances that may affect this budget as opposed to last year's budget, such as, you know, if we don't have the use of the FEMA money, or if we had something catastrophic? So are there extraordinary circumstances that are discussed in the committee in the development of the budget that may affect the one you're building as opposed to the previous one? It's not a trick question, just asking.
No, I don't know that specifically there was any extraordinary. No, I don't know that conversation.
Well, the FEMA money obviously is still on the table.
Correct.
So that, my question is, was that discussed as to whether or not to use it, not to use it, to try to build a budget without it?
We don't see anything over here yet. Yes, the CDL money was discussed.
Okay. I have a complaint and a criticism or a suggestion and then some questions with regards to Saturday's meeting on the 14th. Those of us that don't have children in the school anymore don't get the Honeywells. That meeting was noticed, I know, properly. I understand it was all done in accordance with legality, but the reality is those of us that pay taxes in town didn't know about it unless somebody from the school brought something to us. So, unless you read the legal notices. So I would like to ask in the future if the board could perhaps look into a better way to get the word out to the community. I know with the town council, you can sign up to get their updates. I think it would be a good thing for the board to do. There are a lot of people that don't attend the meetings but listen to them online. And I think if it's something that's of importance, it should be discussed. My second criticism is, I read the Honeywell email, and it said that you were going to discuss current and future initiatives, and the word budget was not used in at least the first email that I have. I don't know if it went out in future ones, and there was a budget topic discussed, and I'd like to ask a few questions about that. With regards to the letter that was in the 41-page PowerPoint presentation from the state of New Jersey dated December 18th, which was referencing a budget efficiency meeting that was held on December 18th from Joe Passman's office to the board. My question is that a regular occurrence, that type of meeting? Is that something the board does every year in December, sit down with the county superintendent and review your budget of 2014-15 to see where you are and where you need to be?
Sure. That letter, as well as three prior letters, were placed in the budget handout or even in that PowerPoint. That happens every year, and it happens with every superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
And they focus on the taxpayer's guide. and they talked to us about, you know, what we should do in regards to making the taxpayers' guide comparable for each district in that particular area. And there were several areas that they told us to look at and to
And those four areas, is that an action plan? Because the way that I read it, it said that the board will be monitored in those areas for the next three budget cycles, or did I misread that?
I think that was in Joe's letter, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the four areas that were addressed in that letter, the board has to place, from what I read, a plan in place for the next three budget cycles, and the county superintendent will monitor that to make sure that we are, I guess, efficient in those areas. Is that, I'm trying to understand the letter.
Yeah, they'll look and see if we're efficient, but I think that an action plan is something that they use very loosely, mm-hmm. because I've never had it developed. When I talk about action plans, I talk about months, years, people involved, finances. I have an actual action plan that I use. That's not what they require us in the county. They ask us to pay attention as we build the budget to these areas. And then when we go speak to them again, and when they look at the budget, they'll say, did you pay attention in building this budget? And
so,
yes.
So when they said that they're going to monitor that for the next 3 years, that's a loose term on their part?
Yeah.
Okay. Am
I incorrect, Lynn?
Well,
it's loosely coupled at best.
It is loosely coupled. I will give you that. I just would like to go back to something, just to clarify something Dr. Cajun said. Each board member received a binder. The finance committee members received it at one of our finance committee meetings, and the balance of the board received it this evening, and they knew that it was going to be handed out tonight. There were four letters in the binder, and those were our current letter that we received just this past winter, and then the three prior. In the presentation itself, we just referenced the most current letter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it does say the district will come up with a three-year plan to address this. I'm sorry, this is really small. I don't have a full-size version here. The district will come up with a three-year plan to address this indicator. This is after every indicator, he says this. And the county will monitor the district performance over the next three budget years to meet this efficiency standard. So, and we will come up with a plan. Mm-hmm. It does not say it needs to be turned into the county office, but the way they monitor it is every late fall, early winter, we have to turn into the county office a spreadsheet, I don't know, it's maybe 8 pages long, documenting our district's data by researching it through the most recent taxpayer guide to education. So it's a public document that's on the DOE website. We have to look into it and answer the same questions that every other district has to answer across the state of New Jersey. When we turn that in, the county office, the BA and the superintendent review it, and then we get called to a meeting in the county office. And this year they did group meetings. So he went over a few items with all of us because it was about six districts. It wasn't necessarily pinpointed to just Manasquan.
Mm-hmm.
And then this letter would arrive after our meeting. So it's an alert, I think, to the district to look at these indicators as you're moving forward.
The remainder of your current budget cycle that you're in.
Right, but understand the taxpayer guide to education spending that we used in, I would say, November, early December, when we did the spreadsheet and turned it in, is already dated. I mean, they're due to publish a new one anytime between this March and this June. So it is in a way, it's dated information. So when the next publication comes out, we will have an opportunity to see if any of those indicators leveled off, and we'll start to see a trend.
I would like to thank the transparency for sharing it. Did we have other loose letters like that we received in the past? Previously? Because this is the first time
that was one of the reasons why Lynn and I brought these to the board when we
right.
found out.
And I think that's great, but my question is...
Four.
So previously there were letters of areas that you may have had. My question specifically is I've been complaining about legal fees for a long time, and legal fees on your bar graph were crazy over the top for a district of our size.
And I presented those purposefully.
Right. So my question is, was the board made aware of Mr. Pellegrino? You were president at that time, too. So did we get this kind of a warning last year prior to Dr. Cajun arriving?
This is the first of those letters that I've seen, but to say we didn't get it, but
right.
I that's
but
first
it may not have been
this
shared
the first time
necessarily
I've
seen. With yes. the whole board.
May I?
Okay.
Yes, that's exactly what
that's
happened.
All I'm asking, I figured.
And also, Michelle, if you would, I mean, one of the things I value myself for is making sure that information is out there. And we've been talking about the meeting we had on Saturday, which I thought was a very important meeting, because I want people to understand exactly, as we maintain a budget to keep this district whole, what this district is. And that's what the meeting on Saturday was about. And on October 14th, what Ms. Coates and I, is a common practice as we built a budget in a B district, almost an Abbott district, we felt that it was very important for the community to understand how we were using their money. So we developed budget presentations. Now, on October, the minutes from the October 14th meeting, I mentioned that to the board and asked them to make a decision. Either they want to do this as a board of a whole, or they want to do this as a committee. And then on the minutes from January 20th, it was decided by the board president to do an ad hoc committee to do that. And then in correspondence that you had with Lynn, that you asked when we finalize the dates of our public presentation, our budget presentation, can we please put them on our website? And we did that. Whatever we can do to let the community know on our TV station, because I think these meetings, especially the next one, when we talk dollars and cents, are very important, because I think it's ludicrous for a district to go out under statute with one meeting and present a budget to a community when they really can't do anything about it. But I welcome comment from the public. And I thought the meeting we had on Saturday, we had 23 people there. I wish they had brought a friend. I told them
I'm sure it was wonderful. I just didn't have enough notice to change my plans. But my other, you know, concern is, and again, you're new, I understand that, but there are board members here who are not. And in the past, we had had public meetings prior to the preliminary adoption. I understand that there's not much the public can say or do, but to weigh in and perhaps give a board member something that they might have brought back to committee. I have no problem with the structure. Mm-hmm. I understand everything was done the way it's supposed to be. But, you know, if somebody stands up here and expresses a concern, that may have been brought back to committee and discussed in committee, but we didn't get that opportunity. And many districts around us do that. Our district has done it for the last 6 years. Prior to the preliminary adoption, there was an opportunity for the public and not given in lightning speed. So it's just a, you know, a criticism going forward. I would like it to, you know, hopefully you take the suggestion of that maybe there's a better way to communicate to those of us that don't have kids in the school that pay taxes in the town.
I'm glad you told me that. Point well taken. Didn't
Thanks.
Know that.
May I ask a question before we move on?
Sure.
Mr. Place, on our website, can a member of the public that does not have students in the district sign up for the Honeywell alerts?
Not currently.
No. Okay. But I just wanted to clarify that. I wasn't sure.
There certainly would be any number of ways that we could facilitate that if that's what.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay. Thank you.
Grace Roberts, Lebanon Drive, Brielle. I'm just wondering if the audio from the Saturday meeting is going to be available on the website.
We don't have audios of those meetings, and I don't have audios of the strategic planning meeting either. It wasn't our intention. It's not that type of meeting. So, there isn't an audio.
Just a lot of people missed it, so they could have known what was going on. But okay, yeah. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you.
Seeing no one else? Seeing no one else. Executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act provides the Manasquan Board of Education may hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or are one of the 9 subject matters listed in Section 12B of the Act. And whereas it is recommended by the Superintendent, the Manasquan Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Manasquan, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas the board hereby declares that its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Manasquan Board of Education, the board shall go into an executive session to discuss the following items. Number 8, personnel matters, which refer to retirements and hiring. Items discussed in executive session may result in board action tonight. They will not. And when the board reconvenes to public session, we will adjourn with no action taken. Do we have a motion to adjourn? Mr. Clayton, second. Mr. Catani, all those in favor?